Welcome back to Musings of a Book Collector. So in this episode, I'm going to continue with what I began the last episode, which is talking about some autobiographies. The last episode was focusing on two new autobiographies that were just released, one right after Pesach, about Hayisi Talmud B'Yeshivas Chevron, where Meir Tzvi Greizman writes up about his Tkufa in Chevron. I spoke about that a little bit. And most recently, the end of last week, the Lev Nemon, which is the autobiography of Rameir Mazuz. So I spoke about that in the previous episode. So in the previous episode, I also mentioned a little bit my fascination with the genre of writing. And I mentioned that in general, reading about autobiographies, you could get all types of information, including, we're about to begin Shavuos. So the idea was to focus on what the autobiographical information out there tells us about the Chag of Shavuos, how it was celebrated. Including, I'll talk about what we find in this, about this in Yeshivas Chevron about Shavuos and Rav Mazuz a little bit. Now, if one wants to hear more about autobiographies, so behind the paywall, we're releasing an episode about the Aderis' autobiography, which we'll hear a little bit about today. And behind the paywall is a more in-depth autobiography about his autobiography. And Mirtz Hashem next week will release a more in-depth episode about the Yesh Manchilin. This is the autobiography of the great Reb Pinchas Katzenhallenbeugen also. Now, so when you learn Hilchos Shavuos, so it's very interesting. There's a great difference between what one sees in the Paiskim, starting from the Tur, even some of the Rishayim, until and including the Ramah, and what happens. Basically, when you look in the Tur talks about the davening, the Seder davening, and the Seder Kriyas HaTaira. And the only minig that he pretty much brings down is about that some people in Chazaris HaShas of Musaf, they would say Azaris. Azaris is the Minyan HaMitzvahs, different piyutim that people compose of the Minyan HaMitzvahs. Obvious connection between Dan and Shavuos is Shavuos, we got the Torah, so the Minyan HaMitzvahs is important. Lamashal, the Beis Yosef, who usually updates a lot of information, adds in his own comments over here, Kamat doesn't say anything. He talks about a little bit about Isruchag, fasting, and he doesn't really add all that much to the sugya. In Hilchos Tisha B'Av, he Derech Agav, we find out about there's a minig that he brings, which we don't even know if Svard has that minig about laying Megillas Rus. Shulchan Aruch, that's in the Beis Yosef. Shulchan Aruch, does he update this? Not really. Comes along the Ramah. The Ramah introduces a minig of flowers in shuls and homes, eating milchiks, and Kriyas HaMegillah can be found with the Ramah. But there's still other minhagim, Lamashal, Agdamas, Yitziv Piskam. These are not the first time in Lamashal we find is Lavush brings this down, Azaris and Yitziv Piskam. And Lamashal, other aspects in relaying Kriyas HaTaira, we have the Aseres HaDibrois, how's Aseres HaDibrois, Tamelion, Tamtachtoin. You don't even see in the nice, even in the Lavush discussion about that. Now, so each one of these things that I mentioned and many other topics, plenty what to say and has been written Meshech HaDairis by the all different types of Paiskim, Chaykrim and Hagim, but that's not my goal today. I'm trying to do something different, which is to talk about the Chag of Shavuos is a Chag very rich in Minhagim, Lamashal, staying up at night. So I didn't mention it. But up till now, is it discussed in Shulchan Aruch? So does the Tur bring it down? No. Does Rabbi Yosef Kayo bring it down? No. Does Lavosh bring it down? No. Does Ramah bring it down? No. Now, what's even more interesting is, you ask Tam Yid, why do we stay up on Shavuos night? What do they tell you? Because of the Magid of the Beis Yosef, Agansa Sipor, Gevaldika story. So you would think the Beis Yosef would make note of it, would say it, would talk about it. He doesn't. What's going on? So, but today, you go, everyone stays up, or tons of people stay up, that's for sure. So how this happened is not the focus of today, but my focus of today is that it happened. That means say that this Chag has tons of Minhagim. And those minhagim are, besides the literature and the halachic literature about it, it's also reflected in what the autobiographical information that we could pull together from various different works, autobiographical accounts about the Chag of Shavuos. Now, not all minhagim are represented in the autobiographical accounts that are out there, or maybe they are. I'm not claiming to have read all the autobiographical accounts out there on Chag of Shavuos, but so far looking, I have not found certain things, but okay, that doesn't mean anything. Now, other autobiographical accounts that have tons of information and are fascinating have nothing about Shavuos. As I said in the previous episode, different writers focus on different things that caught their interest or what they wanted to preserve. The Mashal is a fascinating autobiography from Rabbi Yehuda Arye Medina, one of the earliest autobiographies. The only thing he talks about Shavuos is that about a drasha that he gave, that it was very nice or something. Doesn't he say when he gave the drasha, what the drasha was about? So the point is that you cannot, as much as we want, sometimes there's a lack of information. Okay. Bechlal, an interesting makar that came to light a few years ago, a beautifully produced book called Letters from the Mir, A Torah World in the Shadow of the Shoah, The Correspondence of Ernest Guggenheim, who ends up becoming a Rav. So he wrote letters back to home in the late 1930s of his time in Mir. And so the way he talks about Shavuos is unbelievable. In one letter he writes, that I have complete satisfaction I feel in living the life of the Mir Yeshiva. Study, prayer, and the joys of Yeshiva are unique experience, lessons probably that it alone is capable of teaching. And basically, he's very excited after Shavuos. And in the next letter he writes, I just lived through a Shavuos. I never would have expected that such hislavas existed, and so I'm told it does not come near the Yom Neram or Simchas HaTorah. Okay. So we see that at least in his account, the hislavos that came with and the impact, this is right before World War II is about to begin, what was going on in the yeshiva world, in Mir Yeshiva, one of the most prominent yeshivas at the time. Now, one of the minhagim that has been discussed, and I myself have fallen to this rabbit hole discussing a lot about, is the minhag of flowers. Flowers and trees and decorations with flowers in the house, in the shuls. When did it begin? And that position of the Vilna Gaon. So how is this reflected in autobiographical material that we have? So Lamashal, Zechibar Zechreinus Avu Benoi, which is about the Galatianer Yidden, Avram Braver and his father. So there, it's clear that they talk about briefly the minig in Galicia was they had flowers. Okay. In Lomja, a reflection in one of the memoirs about Lomja in Yeshivas, a Bachar that learned in Yeshivas Lomja reflects that he did not have flowers, probably because of the influence of the Gra. Okay. In a fascinating autobiographical account from a lady, Pauline Weingroff, who her father was a Talmud of Alajan, learned it for a few years, or say from Menachas Yehuda, where in a few places he even dates the years that he learned in Valajan, but he also learns with Shas Biyun, with the Nachos David, the great Talmud of Reb Chaim Valajaner, a great so because this is a Chash of a Litvish Yid. So his daughter, in her autobiographical account of life in her parents' house, she talks about the rooms were full with greens, and because they had flowers. This is a Litvish Makar. In another Litvish Makar that was published recently, translated from Yiddish into English from Alexander Gurwitz, Life in Russia. So there also we see that he says in the shuls, they had the shuls was full of fresh greens, and the house also, they had flowers. In a memoir of Italy, we find also that the shul was full of flowers hanging all over. That this fellow writes that his father also sponsored it in the shul. Okay. So a kitzer flowers is one of them in Hagim, preparation before the Chag. Another, because you couldn't do it on the Chag. Okay. Another minig, reflected in the autobiographical accounts, is a minig to be toivel, to go into the mikvah before the Chag. So there's a lot of discussion about Bechlal, the Shalosh Regalim, Tefillah today. Do you, don't you? But we have a unique autobiographical account of the Chida. So the Chida, we have this in two places. Number one is we have the travels of the Chida, where he documented his sometimes day by day, sometimes what happened by the month, of what happened during his travels of Europe. Not only all types of things are found in these travels, but some of the things are personal and haggis of his. So he writes at one place in his travels that were recently been published in multiple different editions, that he was noted to be Teuvel before the Yontif. Okay, that's one autobiographical account. We also have an incredible document, which was that at the end of every year, it seems, he would reflect on different things that he did on Shabbosim and the Yom Tovim, and Svarim that he learned throughout that year, and various other Anhagas. And Keseder comes up when he talks about Shavuos, that he was Tovel before the Chag. Okay, so this is another thing reflected in autobiographical information that we have about the Chag of Shavuos. Another thing is, some people, it's known about when you daven Ma'ariv, on Shavuos, do we daven late? Should it be Tmimois? Kiddush? Is it Kiddush has to be Vaday Laila? All this is literature that's discussed in the Noisei Kelim of Shulchan Aruch and onwards. A lot has been written about it. Is this reflected at all in autobiographical information? So one place that I did see some reflection about this was in Yeshivas Lamja, that they daven very late Ma'ariv to be Mekayim Sheva Shabbosis Tamimois, and then afterwards they would come back to Yeshiva to learn. Now, one of the prominent minhagim that is full of in all the different sources of in many different sources of autobiographical accounts is the minig of staying up on Leil Shavuos. So again, we refer to the Chida. The Chida, in his travels, a few times mentions that he stayed up the whole night, and in his work in the various years that he kept this diary of what he did each year, we also see Keseder that he stayed up, and sometimes he even says he was Noyik Tanis Dibur. Okay. Do we have other accounts of Bachram staying up? So, Lamashal, I quoted earlier the account about Mir. So he also says how they would stay up. They learned all night. In the morning, they would have a kiddush. Lamashal, this lady, Pauline Weingroff, that I mentioned. So she also talks about how the men would stay up. They would, and what would they do? So they would say, Tikkun Leil Shavuos. That we find in by Pauline Weingroff. Similarly, this Yid that I mentioned, Alexander Gerwitz, he also talks about the minig that they stayed up. So do we find in Italy, the early source that I brought, that they would stay up on Leil Shavuos, the masses would stay up. Now, one source that when I came to this book, I was blown away by this book, which is, when it came out a few years ago, which is the diary of Reb Chaim Stein, Rosh Yeshiva of Telz, during World War II from 1940 to 1944. Now, he was not in concentration camps, but he basically survived. How he survived is what he documents in this autobiographical account with a few Bachram. Miracles of miracles, and it's fascinating to see how he basically kept a diary of what went on during these terrible years and how they were trying so hard to do various mitzvahs, whatever they were able to do. They barely had any svarim, and how they survived. It's documented. He documents in this book, and it was published after a few years ago. Incredible work. Just to see the Mesiras Nefesh during this crazy period of time for all different things. So, Lamashal, multiple times we find in the various years how him and his friends, they would stay up on Shavuos night learning. Okay, so he records this as in the Hanhagas of what they did on Shavuos night. In the morning they had coffee, cake, and that's what he describes one year. Sometimes I guess they had better accommodation, sometimes they figured out they were able to make better arrangements, other times not. One year he records that they learned Bikurim. the obvious connection to Shavuos is also that people did learn Bikurim, and he writes that he wrote down some of his Chiddushei Torah of it. But a few times he documents this thing that they stayed up Shavuos night learning. Okay, fascinating idea found in this autobiographical account. Another autobiographical account, which was written also after the war of life in Europe, in Poland, was from a fellow Ben Zion Gold. So he also described Shavuos night. What did the Jews do? Everyone that they would say the Tikkun, and many people stayed up on Shavuos night learning. Now, Rav Mazuz, in the autobiographical account of his that was just published, Lev Neman, so he also talks about them staying up. He says, L'mashal, the father, who, as I said in the previous episode, his father was married to Isaac and Mechanuch them properly, so you make sure they would take a nap before the Chag. And when they stayed up, so he remarked that the Minig in Tunis was, some people, again, they said this Tikkun Leil Shavuos, which is its own whole story, what they said and all that. But what, if you were saying Tikkun, not to eat during the Tikkun, if you were just learning, then yeah, you could learn. That was a Minig in at least in Tunis, and there's probably more about that also. Now, there's a fascinating account of Yerushalayim in the early 1900s from a Chaim Hamburg, I think his name was, Shleisha Dairis, three volumes he published, tons of material about Yerushalayim in that period of time. So he talks about a Zayda who made Aliyah to Yerushalayim, a Talmud of the Beis Medrash of the Chassam Sofer. He did not stay up Shavuos night. And the reason was because he felt it affected his davening, because his davening, he started to fall asleep, so he stayed up at night. Okay. Do we have any other accounts about Leil Shavuos staying up at night? So just to mention, I always was curious what they do about Valajan. So in recent years, there was a fascinating work called Yeshivas Lita Perke Zichreinus, where professors Emmanuel Etkes and Shlomo Tkachinsky collected many of the accounts found in autobiographical accounts of Yeshivas Valajan. So you would hope to see, what are you going to be able to find? Did they stay up in Valajan on Shavuos night? None of the accounts that are published here are talk about Shavuos Kemat. We'll see maybe one source later on about something relating to Shavuos, but they don't talk about anything what went on in Valajan Shavuos. So I always wanted to know, is there any documentation about what went on in Valajan and Shavuos by night? And I, Baruch Hashem, found there are many accounts of Valajan that were not published in this beautiful work of theirs. And one of such account, which is describing Valajan in 1874 to 1876, when he learned there, a Yid in a Sefer Netta Eitan, he becomes a prominent Rav, a Darshan, he writes a bunch of Svarim. So he wrote many years later a short biography of different points in his life. So he describes in Valajan, we stayed up the whole night, everyone stayed up, and they daven Vasikin. So Baruch Hashem, I was able to find a source, an open source that says klar that they stayed up on Shavuos night. Another makar that talks about Shavuos night, which is the Aderes. So the Aderes, he writes, on his birthday was on Shavuos, so it was a very special day for him in general, and from when he was very young, he stayed up and he would make sure. He says he doesn't remember if he ever slept from already before Bar Mitzvah. And he would say, Idan Vasikin. And what would he say? Also, the Tikkun. And he said his father also was Noyig to say the Tikkun, to learn the Tikkun. He also, and we'll get back to shortly what else he did as far as the learning on Shavuos night, we'll get back to it momentarily, but that was another important source of the Aderes. And as I said, if one wants to hear much more about Bechlal, the Aderes' autobiography, there's a behind the paywall is a special episode devoted to the Aderes' autobiography. And Mirtz Hashem, over time, I hope to give many more, not only about the autobiography, but Bechlal about this unbelievable Yid. Now, one last source is this book that I spoke about more at length last time. Was the book about Chevron, this Meir Tzvi Greizmann, he describes Chevron. So here also, again, you see him describing it, and as I mentioned in the previous episode, it's beautiful how he writes it up. He simply writes up very well. I enjoy this type of writing, others might not. So Lamashal, he says, the Bachrim, everyone will come. The Beis Medrash was packed. Everyone's all dressed, beautiful, ready to plug away. And he says a lot of times people, you had to come early to make sure you got your seats. And he's describing 1950s. And I find it fascinating because he's putting this in today. He says, who comes in? Rosh Lema Goren, all dressed up in his Rabbanu Shel Levush. He sits down and learns Ba'amida the whole night. Another one, another great person, Rabbi Yitzhak Kulitz, who becomes the Rav of Yerushalayim, who is also an alumni of Chevron, so he also came. And a lot of alumni, he said, will come specifically to learn on Shavuos night in the yeshiva, so you have to make sure to get your seats. So it's interesting that even though it's today, he's publishing this book, but he does include this piece of information from Rav Shlomo Goren. I found this interesting. Moving on, he talks about everyone's learning, and at a certain point in time, you get a little shvach, you go out to eat. Legendary, Lamashal, when I was growing up in Flatbush, Yeshivas Chaim Berlin was right across from Radava Kohn's shul, so they make a very fancy kiddush at Radava Kohn's shul, and people packed out to go there, and then people are upset, I remember. Anyway, so at a certain point in time, you're learning, you need to get something, a cold drink or something to keep on going. So he continues describing it. He says, some bachrim, they go, they can't handle it, they go take a little nap, and that's the bachur, acutely he writes, there's always that guy that everyone always asks, who slept a little, and embarrassing until someone does. Then he says, of course, in bachur, they went to be toivel, in the mikvah, which is a minig that we'll mention shortly. Lamashal the Chida had this minig to, before davening, and many others do mekubalim, but the Chida records this in his autobiographical accounts, to be tovel in the mikvah before davening, because we're about to hear Aseres HaDibros. Okay, so what's interesting is in Chevron, this Reisman is writing that there were bachrim that did that. And he says sometimes people go out to hear a shir. So he says he once went out one of his years. He went to hear, came from America, Professor Mirsky gave a ganze shir. About Rosh Shir Yagoyin, he says it was a fascinating shir. But Lamaisa, he felt guilty that he's not learning. So, okay, but he heard the shir, it was given in Hichel Shlomo. Okay. He says another minig that we have today in Eretz Yisrael, which is true, tons of bachrim go to the Kaisel at a certain point in time. He says, no, that wasn't a gay of them, because why? This is right in 1950s, the Kaisel was not in their hands. And Kitzer, he continues describing, and we'll get back to some other facts that he describes about staying up, about Shavuos in Yeshivas Chevron. Okay. What did they learn? So I already mentioned in passing, some of the passages of these autobiographical accounts say they learned, sometimes they would say the Tikkun. So, besides the Tikkun, we find another aspect that was said, or learned. We mentioned one of the only things the Torah talks about is the minhag of saying Azaris. So, Lamashal, fast forward from the Torah, the Chida in Shema Gedolim says, Kairin Rav Yisrael b'chag ha'shvuah is mamam d'arisenu, but they say Azaris. But which Azaris is all types, which is its own shmuz, what Azaris, who wrote the different Azaris, and what are they in these minyan hamitzvahs, who are they based on, and what's the story with that? But the Chida mentions throughout the years that he would learn. Amongst the things that he learned on Shavuos night was mitzvahs, about the topic of mitzvahs. The Aderes, in his account, when he talks about what did he learn, he said, B'yichud, he would have a major oinig in learning Taryag mitzvahs. And he would learn it b'iyun, and he says, mechadash, all types of chedushim in it. And he says, even Rabbi's Pam Zolgu Einai, he had tears. Dema Gil Be'is Amirasam, because he was thinking of how he could do it. And he would think about, he would be Isaac in the Ramban, the Smag, the Smak, the Sefer Yireim, the Charedim Kiyadua. Elsewhere in his autobiography, he talks about the Aris that he wrote on the Yireim, which we were Zeichah that some of it survived and was published in an edition of the Yireim that came out in his lifetime. Someone published it. Okay, so that's what he learned in the various times of over Shavuos. Interestingly enough, do we have other accounts besides the Tikkun? So Rav Mazuz also, he records that he would also learn Azaris B'iyun. He describes which Azaris that he learned. which perished from a chacham from Tunis, I believe, and he also learned about relating to mitzvah's aspects. Now, Rav Kook, so in an account about from a mishamish of Rav Kook, his name was Ravram Chechik, published a book, they published this work called B'Mechitzasai. So it seems that over the years, Rav Kook's shiur on Shavuos was, he would be up, giving shiur in Sefer HaMitzvahs to the Rambam. The last year of his, and at the end, they would end up going to the Kaisel. This is actually before the Rav Kook was nifter in the 30s. So then they still, the Kaisel was by us, not as opposed to the Chevron when he's talking in the 1950s. So the, but his last year, he was not able to, he gave up his shiur on Sefer HaMitzvahs, but it sounds like he wasn't much able to give much of a shiur on the Sefer HaMitzvahs on these inyanim. But in general, it sounds like that's what he did do. Okay, so as you said, davening Vasikin, that was like a, pretty much a given. And Tefillin the Mikvah, I mentioned already, the Chidah and others, that's what they would do in the morning when they would get up. Before davening. Okay, so now we begin davening, and then comes Kriyas HaTayr. So again, do we have anything Ki Yadua, one of the things that we begin by Kriyas HaTayr, is with the famous Piyut Akdamas. What happens? When is it done? After the Birchas of the Bracha of the Aliyah or not, or before? This is not reflected in the literature. I was not able to find autobiographical accounts, but I did find discussion a little bit about Akdamas. Lamashal, we're talking about Mir, so I quoted a few times already the letters from Mir, this fellow. So he writes that on Shavuos, it was the only Piyut which was said was Akdamas. In general, they did not say Piyutim. Are there other sources about saying Akdamas? So Lamashal, this lady Pauline Weingroff, when she talks about it, she also says that when they would go to shul, even the women, it sounds like, would go to shul, she makes note of this special piyut of Akdamas. Similarly, this Ben Zion Gold, he says that as a bacher, when he was a little kid, they would learn the piyut of Akdamas a few weeks before Shavuos. They would prepare to say over, to understand and know about this piyut, which I find is a nice thing, a proper minig, to that one should, if possible, to go through it a little bit to see what it is. Not so simple to understand. And basically what ends up happening a lot of times is people just fall asleep. One last makar relating to Akdamas was Rav David HaNazir, Talmud Muvik by Rav Kook, records basically in the last year of Rav Kook's life. He gave a shiur on Sefer HaMitzvahs, even though he wasn't able to say so much, whatever, but he stayed to hear Akdamas Mipi Arav. Says he said it b'ni'ima b'kol b'chiyos b'chedva k'darke b'chol shana, but he writes in his these are his memoirs of Reb David HaNazir. He felt that this is the last time he's going to be saying this. That Reb Kook is going to be saying Akdamas. So this is another thing that's reflected in the autobiographical accounts. And Avada, there's tons of Torah written about Akdamas. When to say it, the Pulmus Meshech HaDoiris. When exactly is it said? And I too was eicher to write a whole article about it, which I'm more than happy to share, about when is the about the minig of Akdamas and what's behind the minig of Akdamas also. Now, continuing with Kriyas HaTayr. So we have Daf Tayr. So Daf Tayr is in, we lain from the Merkava. So the Chok Yaakov writes, he brings down over here in Hilchos Shavuos, the Merkava, he says that Dafka Gadol Shalem this. The Magen Avraham references it elsewhere in Hilchos Kriyas HaTayr. He says, "Ve'risi noigin she'ein katan mafter b'merkava b'yoyim al shal Shavuos." He doesn't say where he got it from. L'chayre is makar is a Magli Tzedek, the Machzor Magli Tzedek, who the Magen Avraham does quote many times. We spoke about it a little bit in an episode about, I think it was relating to Shavuos, one of the early Makairis for flowers, is the Magli Tzedek, the Machzor Magli Tzedek, but the Magen Avraham brings this work down many times. And in the Magen Tzedek it says, "Akdanim lo yomer aftayrezu." So, do we find anyone? Do we find this minig reflected in memoir literature? So yes, Taderis says that he on his bar mitzvah karati b'aftayr b'markava b'esa medrash. And he said the Balabatim were upset. He said, "Loi nagulu kreis lenar haftoyer samarkava." But the father, the Rav of the city, the great Rav Binyamin, who was a tremendous guy in Olam, he says, "No, they could." He says, "Ki nar kamoisam kol yachol kreis gam b'markava." They could lay in the markava. So him and his brother, it sounds like they said they did do the part, they did lay in this after. Okay, so as Harais, I spoke about already that this minig that it where the Torah brings down during Musaf. So the Torah brings down Musaf. It sounds like some people they would say the Hazaris or learn Hazaris or learn things relating to the mitzvahs Leil Shavuos at night. Okay, another thing that takes place on Shavuos is the laning of Megillas Rus. So here too, we have that the Lamashal, this lady Pauline Weingruff, reflecting Litta, writes about on the second day of Shavuos they would lane the Megillah. Davening took a long time, fine. Similarly, this year Alexander Horowitz, also reflecting life in Russia, also talks about many of laning Rus and others. In some of the other literature, they talk very much about how nice the Megillah is, and just one place that I in Lamashon this tells that I was talking about Chaim Stein in his memoirs, and you know they're not among civilization most of the time, and how they survived anything. So he says they lained after Shacharis they lained Megillas Rus. Okay. Now, okay, so these are some of the things that took place in the davening part of the day. Some other things that took place also is that relate to the davening or stuff like that was there was a minig, and this requires its own story. What's the story behind it? To say the ksuva written by Rabbi Yisrael Najara. So it seems in Lamja at a certain point in time, they started to do this. I find it very interesting that the yeshiva, they did take upon this minig. Okay. Learning other topics. So again, that Deres, he talks about Shavuos, his Chag, his birthday and everything. So he says he was Noyig, and this also relates to the Chag, it's the Shtei Alechem. So he used to learn the Rambam in Hilchos Shtei Alechem. The Talmud Ayisi Mahadil Chazram L'Kvayde Yontif. Should be like a carbon. He also says that he learned Agadas of Matan Torah and Shabbos. He also tried to be Mechadish. And he says over there that I wrote it in my Chibur, Sidrei Mayadois. So Mamish recently, a year or two ago, we were zeichet to some of these Chidushim Sidrei Mayadois of his, that he was Mechadish on the Sugis of Shtei Alechem, which were he was Mechadish on Shavuos. Another minig that's reflected in a little bit in the autobiographical accounts is a minig to give a Sefer Torah. There's a Achnas of Sefer Torah. Someone would donate it, it would be on Shavuos. So one of the autobiographical accounts that I came across over the years is it's called Zecher Yemais Olam from Benjamin Schreiber. So he also talks about the various things of Shavuos, some we mentioned already. So one of the things he says is that he writes, this particular Shavuos promised to be especially interesting. Our community was looking forward to a great event, for on the first day of Shavuos, a new Sefer Torah, which had been penned by Reb Shimon, a respected member of our community, who had no children, he said this Sefer Torah is going to be his Kaddish, was going to be donated, and it was donated, the whole procession. Okay, and it was donated on the Chag of Shavuos. This is found in the autobiographical account of this Binyamin Schreiber recording his life in Hungary. Now, do we have Makairis for such a thing? So, interestingly enough, we do. That this Lamashal, Ramosha Chagiz, contemporary of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, mentioned him briefly in the episode of the Misha Beirachs. So he writes, he's talking about the donations of the Sefer Torah. He says, They would go around with the Sefer Torah. They would dance with the Sefer Torah. Now, I'm not sure if he was talking about them donating a Sefer Torah, but they definitely danced, of course, it's Matan Torah, with a Sefer Torah on Shavuos. But, interestingly enough, in the drushes of the Noin Bi Yehuda, so we find in the published drushes, there's a drusha, and in this drusha, he talks about the Chag of Shavuos, and then he says, like this, and we have to minig Yisrael Tairi, litin Sefer Torah, b'yom tif rishon shel Shavuos. Based on, and he gave in this drasha, he gave a whole lamdish reason behind it, and then he also tells you why we lay in Rus. That's in a drasha of the Noin Yehuda. Now, recently they did some published a beautiful edition of the drashas in Noin Yehuda, Mishnas Atzlach, Mechon Mishnas Atzlach, back in 2021. Mamish, a beautiful edition, and they also had manuscripts. It seems there was another manuscript of the drasha that he gave on Shavuos when it was donated in 1772. So we have a drasha of the Noin Yehuda given. So, and they're also, so it might be it's the same drasha, it might be a different nusach of the drasha, but in 1772 in Prague they gave Azaz Sefer Torah. Okay. Fine. Is there any other minhagim of Shavuos? So, of course, one of my favorite minhagim when it comes to food, you always have to mention such a thing, which is eating of milchiks. So, is this reflected in autobiographical material? The answer is Baruch Hashem, yes. And just to mention briefly, Lamashal. As I said, I was always curious what they did in Valajan on Shavuos night or after Shavuos. So it turns out in the Makar that I quoted earlier, Nite Eson, reflecting Valajan 1874-1876, he says that after davening they had tefillah, they gave everyone mine metika v'levivos, which is assumed to be milchiks. Then he says, the chashev Talmidim was zeicha to go eat a suda at the Netziv, and I was also zeicha to eat at the Netziv's house. In Mir, in the letters that I quoted already a few times, of this Rabbi Guggenheim, he also says, what do we eat? A milchiks was the main thing that they ate over Shavuos. We ate on Shavuos was mostly milchiks. That's what they ate over Shavuos in Mir. Lamja, same thing. In Galicia, I mentioned earlier, the Zechariah's Ava B'nai ate milchiks. Again, Pauline Weingroff discusses a few times that was a favorite thing, that they ate milchiks, butter cakes, and blintzes on the second day. But Bechlal, she talks about the Hachanas before the Chag of the preparations for the milchiks. And so, too, does this fellow Ben Zion Gold writing about Poland, discussing that they also were very into the milchiks. I think he says that. Hold on. Yeah. During my childhood, anticipating Shavuos included looking forward to the special dairy foods, especially the cheesecake. Okay. So there also, we find such a thing, similar to this, and also this Alexander Horowitz talks about it. So this was a common menig, to eat milchiks, as is reflected also in the autobiographical material. And just to the marshal, Rev Mazuz, so when he talks about it, he says they did not have it because they didn't have Chol of Yisrael. They had problems with that. So they did not have milchiks. And anyway, see, he himself, it sounds like he had a problem with milk products, so he was not noyig to eat milchiks. Okay, and then in the work on Chevron from Meir Tzvi Greizmann, Yisi Talmi Yeshiva's Chevron, so he talks about what happens. They come, so it's interesting. He talks about Rus, going backwards with Rus. He talks about that's when they start leading Rus, that's when he saw the Olam was getting tired, because in Eretz Yisrael, it's all one day. It's actually, some people say, oh, if you compare Eretz Yisrael to America, at least in America, the two-day Yontif, you get to enjoy certain aspects of Shavuos, whereas in Eretz Yisrael, before you know it, after you stay up all night, there's nothing left for the Chag. But anyway, he describes about milchiks. He says, in the morning after davening, there was a kiddush. Everyone had milchik stuff. To be kind of this special minig, the Rosh Hashivas would come. There was even a shmooz. And then he describes a typical conversation. Vos epes we eat milchiks? And then one guy would say, it's often a Ramah. But why? And then one guy would give a reason. And the reason was because they had to be mashed all the kalim, and they got the Torah. They saw that what they did up to now wasn't good. So they couldn't eat the basar, so they had to only eat milk the kalim. So one guy says, "Oh, the Mishnah, who says it? The Mishnah Berurah." Another guy says another reason. So you see already the Mishnah Berurah was a work in the 1950s being quoted at the table. He mentioned some other reasons feeding milchiks, but the point was milchiks was definitely eaten in Hebron in the 1950s, according to his account also. So we have, again, reflected in all the different accounts of the day, not all, but in a bunch of accounts, that milchiks was definitely eaten. Okay. Is there anything else that we could... So I said, just to be messiah with two more brief nakudas, and that is as follows. I said that sometimes we'll find, there's autobiographical accounts, but they'll talk about, what they talk about is not what you're looking for. It means that you can have 25 works about Menhagim, and you're going to go through all of them, and only three of them talk about you're looking for something specific, and they don't talk about it. So in one of the, so I mentioned already earlier that there's an account, there's a collection called Yeshivas Litta Pirkei Zichronos, which is a bunch of accounts of different Bachrim's time in Valazhin Yeshiva. So the different years, the different tkufas. But one Bachar, which we don't even know anything about him, Ephraim Mushevsky, so he describes a whole story, which I'm not going to get into the details, but basically Erev Shavuos the Netziv gave a shmooze about, you have to be makpid on, when you get a haircut on Hakafas Peis HaRosh, because you could be Oiver Olav, because basically no one took haircuts during Sfira. So make sure to tell your barber to be careful not to be Oiver the Lav of Lo Takifu. It seems something happened. A Bacher, for some reason, the Netziv assumed that he was Oiver and he slapped him, and it caused a revolution in the yeshiva, and they started already throwing tables. It was, and this is Erev Shavuos, you know, the Chag of Torah. Kitzur, somehow Reb Chaim stopped it, but it wasn't good enough, the way he describes this whole story. A lot has to be discussed, what's going on in the story. Is there other evidence about the story? Why did the Netziv do it? But it seems the Netziv, at the end of the story, the Netziv also seems to say that he apologizes to the Bachar. And then the mood in yeshiva got much calmer, and then they walked home to Netziv singing the Zemer HaMakubal Baruch Elokeinu with Rikud and Simcha, and so too at the Kiddush in the morning there was major dancing, and there was, and basically the Yontif of Shavuos was saved, so to speak. Okay, so there was something, so basically some type of an event happened before Shavuos, and through this we get to see some glimpse of something, but we don't, and that the singing of the song and everything, and it was Lebedek. But what exactly was the reason why the Netziv acted and what he was doing, we don't get to understand necessarily. Okay. And I'd like to be assigned with one last source, which also talks about various menhagim of Shavuos in an autobiographical account. There's various writers. There's not only sources, autobiographical accounts in actually books that are written as autobiographies, there's also accounts of certain writers, their writing, even if it was fiction, is based on is autobiographical of their experiences in their cities. Most notably, one of such writer was the famous writer, Yiddish writer, Chaim Grada, who was zeicha to learn many years of the Chazon Ish, and wrote about that in a novel form. So he wrote a lot about, he was from Vilna, so he wrote a lot about Vilna, and in one of his books that was eventually translated from Yiddish into English, Leiba Lazer's Courtyard, so we find a few passages which relates to the Chag of Shavuos, and this relates to Mamish, it's accepted, L'mashal Shaul Lieberman wrote this in a newspaper article, that if you wanted to know that whatever Chaim Grada writes, that's what happened. These are authentic preservation of the Menhagim, let's say, of where he's writing about, which was, in this case, Vilna, his hometown. So first, in this chapter, he describes it's the Erev Shavuos, and there was a machlokes over there. One lady, she was cooking the customary dairy dishes, and basically they had fresh green ferns were on the floor of their house. So the husband says, the Vilna Gaon did away with this custom because of B'chukah Seim Leiselechu. The lady was not impressed. Who cares if the Vilna Gaon did away with it? They say he lived over, but we have a parush, Rabbi Yoel Weintraub, and he says it's all right. So this was a machlokes, husband and wife, to be if we're noyig in Vilna, the hanhag of the Gra about prachim. And this turns out, there are other sources that in Vilna, it sounds like they were noyig to have flowers, even though the Gra was anti-it. Continuing in this whole passage over here, it talks about on the first night of the whole Beis Medrash, was well lit. The benches were packed from the courtyard and from the neighboring streets because everyone came to stay up the whole night. And talks again about this Yid, and he gave Shiurim on Mishle, on the Medrash. And they, this Rabbi Yoel Weintraub, this Parosh, gave Shiur on Megillas Rus. And everyone, eventually at some point in time, people would go sneak out to have a snack from the milchiks that they had stayed away from, that they would. So Bekitzer, they stayed up learning Medrash Rus. Continuing onwards, one last minig is, this was going on, still talking about Shavuos. The second day they had a Tfilas Yiskar for Rabbi Avram ben Avram, the Ger Tzedek, was on the second day of Shavuos. This was when he died. And then it talks about the tree that grew over the Kever. What's the story about that? But the point is, this was another minig that was known. Chaim Gada has lecture where he talks about this also, but that the Ger Tzedek, famous Ger Tzedek, Avram ben Avram, was killed in Vilna and is buried in Vilna. And it was on the second day of Shavuos, so they would say Tefillah. So this also is reflected in his fiction literature, but as I said, it's historical fiction, but the materials reflect the Minhagim of Vilna. So this is one last source where one could see and learn about, sort of autobiographical from his time, of what life was like in Vilna. So these are just some of the materials one could learn about of Shavuos found in the autobiographical sources, including the newly published work on Chevron and this work on Ramazuz that we spoke more about in the first episode. And if one is interested, one could hear more about, let's say, that Deres in the episode behind the paywall. And I hope that is some of the interesting things in a not typical way to discuss some of the Menhagim of Shavuos and the not typical sources.